السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، أما بعد. الحمد لله. We will continue reflecting on some of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أسماء الله الحسنى وصفاته العلى. And today, inshallah, we'll talk about the attribute Al-Khaliq, the Creator. And when we are asked about Allah, and what do you say when you want to talk to people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the first thing that comes to mind. Sometimes the only thing that comes to mind. Allah created everything. Okay. And the more we know about the attributes of Allah, the more we get excited about the subject, the more we know about it, the more we live it, or we live in it, and we live around it. And the more we can relate to it and relate it to others. So, Al-Khaliq is the Creator. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the very early in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah addressed mankind, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ. O ye people, worship your Lord. And Allah gives the reason, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, the one who created you, the Creator. Now, let us start from the beginning and move forward. Before the creation, it was only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah هو الأول, the first, always the first. Nothing before him. He'll be the last, nothing after him. So Allah existed. Allah existed, and Allah is the only one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created everything. So he, as we said in the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who, Al-Qahhar, the one who enforcer, the one who compeller, who compelled everything in being to being from nothing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he exists and he is one and he is complete. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he exists and he is the only one, or he is one and he is complete. So all the creation that Allah created is from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the creation reflects the attributes of Allah, or some of the attributes of Allah. Because there are creations that we do not know, that is unseen. And that is also reflects and magnifies the attributes of Allah. But we don't know these attributes. And inshallah, when we enter Jannah, we'll get to know these attributes that we're not familiar with it in this life. It just, this thought is a very exciting thought, that you'll move into an area where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes that you do not know is magnified in a way that you could never comprehend in this life. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything. To create everything, everything has to be created in a measure, with measure. So, Al-Khaliq, some scholars said, it is more for the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has to do with measuring things. Like Adam alayhi salam, when Allah created him, Allah خلقه من تراب, created him from dust, from mud, from water. Now all of this, this is خلق. All this has to be measured beforehand. Well, with Allah we cannot say before and after. It has to be measured. So Allah measured everything that He created perfectly. Before it was initiated in being, before it came to realization, before it came to being. So everything was measured. Imagine just that the heavens and the earth as we know it, the universe, was measured, and everything in it, and how it is going to be, and the way it is functioning, and the sustenance for everything in it. It was all measured by a Khaliq, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah commanded it to be, after it was all measured, and it started of coming to being. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so this is, and inshaAllah later on bi'idhnillah we'll talk about Al-Bari. Al-Bari is the one who initiated it. And then Al-Musawwir, and Allah put them in Surah Al-Hashr, Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwir. Al-Musawwir is the one that made it look in a certain way. Not just measured and then it's existing, but it exists in a certain looks, in a certain way that is beautiful, in a very specific measure. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who measured everything for the earth to be in this galaxy, and in the earth will be most of it water. Okay? And this, as they call it, the blue planet, okay, that has water in it, this cycle of water that will carry the wind and the sun, how it evaporates, this water evaporates, and Allah wished for it to be salty. So it is designed that way, so it will remain with a purification all the time. Whatever dies in it, would be the contents of salt in it, it causes to decay in a way that is not spoiled. And this water that evaporates goes into the skies and becomes cloud, heavy, physically very heavy creation. And then it moves by the wind, but it does not make a sound as it moves. Okay? And then Allah measured where is this sweet water now it's going to come down, and where all these rivers are going to be, and where all the vegetations are going to be, and measured creation on this earth. Creation of animals, creation of birds and other beings. Some slide on his belly, some walks on four, some walks on many feet, and some walk on two. And yesterday we were listening to Brother Muhammad about the Hadith al-Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam's 60 arms in the sky, meaning 60 arms long. Does anyone know how many feet is 42 meters? How many feet? How many feet? Oh yeah, three feet per. Okay. Now, when we heard this long hadith, a brother came to me from Fajr today, okay, and he said, when Muhammad Rabi'a, okay, he said, when I heard this hadith and went home, and I, you know, went on the internet to look at this, okay, look if there is any discussions about this, anything about that. And then he found something very interesting. He said he found someone who denies the existence of God, who always, you know, quarrel with the Christians. So he was a scientist, and he's saying that what the Christians are saying are nonsense, that God created man in his image, and we've been in earth for this long, and all of this, this physically impossible, scientifically impossible. He said in order for us to be descendant of Adam, as they claim, Adam has to be, he said, at least 90 feet high. He reached that with science. He said because of the genes and divides and so forth, this division causes the being to be, if the time becomes so long, to get smaller and smaller. So as you further go back, the being has to get bigger and bigger. So he said, it, you know, and therefore you're wrong, he said. Okay? So لا ينطق عن الهوى. You know, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم does not speak from his whims and desires. So Allah created man on earth. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Fatir as well. And inshaAllah, bi-idhnillah, we'll talk about this name later on. Al-Fatir is the one who creates things with an innate quality that's in it, that's created with it. So every being has certain qualities. So we have animals that are wild and they are living in a certain way. And some other animals that are wild are living in a more tamed way. We have, you know, birds that could never can be domesticated, always wild. And some birds that are very domesticated, no matter what you do, it is always, you know, familiar with man and with man. Allah creates being that's so small but so ferocious. Okay? But then things that are so huge, but a child can pull it behind a camel. Little child can pull a camel behind him and a camel will go with him. But a snake cannot be tamed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala measured everything as it is, with a specific goal in this life. And everything that is matching with its goal and going to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed it to go. Allah is Al-Khaliq. When Musa alayhi salam was talking to the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh says, فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى? Who's your Lord, Musa? Both of you, meaning you and Harun alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam answered by saying that رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Our Lord is the one who gave everything its creation and then guided. And when you think of that, this is a stand with a tyrant that he said he is Lord. So the answer has to be concise, complete, and overwhelming. And this is the answer, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is Al-Khaliq, and then measured everything in his khalq and guided everything to where it's supposed to be and where what it's supposed to do. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to create as well, to make things. Okay? But the difference between the creation of Allah and the creation that we make, and Allah says that Allah Ahsanul Khaliqeen, He is the most beautiful of creators. Okay, another word, there are other people, others being that create. Now we call it making things. Okay, but Allah initiates the creation, we cannot initiate it. Allah repeats the creation, and we cannot repeat it. Meaning repeated that within itself, it will reproduce. We cannot do that. We can manipulate that which has a life and have it reproduce in a certain way by the will of Allah. But to make something and make it reproduce, this is impossible for us. So Allah is the best of creators. Also, something very important in this. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Doesn't Allah have al-khalq wal-amr, that He created and has the right to command? So once we agree that He is the creator, so therefore we give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the right to command His creation. This is something that we do not have. What we can do is we make things, but you cannot command. And you can command things, but you cannot create it. Okay, you can create things, but without commanding it. You know, it is not a being that you can command. Okay, but you can command beings that's already created. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the creator and the commander. Okay, and this is very important point. Okay, that is the only one who has the right to command is the creator. Okay? And the only one who gives you the right to command is the creator. So therefore, the command that you give has to be within the commands of the creator. And you know where you stop. Where the commands of the creator is given, then you have no command. When Allah opens for the door for you to command, you can command. Within the limitation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put. This is what happened to shaitan. Shaitan mixed those. Shaitan took Allah as the creator. Okay? But did not take Him as the commander. He separated. So shaitan says, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارُ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينَ. You created Him from fire, you created Him from clay. Shaitan believes Allah is the creator. But when Allah commanded him, he refused. But when Allah commanded Adam, Adam alayhi salam obeyed. But eventually he disobeyed through temptation. But Shaitan disobeyed through arrogance and doubt. So he took that something belonged to Allah and made it belong to him. He gave the ability or the authority to give amr, to give a command to himself. He gave the authority to give a command to himself. Okay? He is not the creator. Okay? So he can command, but within the command of Allah. But when he is commanded by Allah, then he has to submit. Now, mankind in earth, Allah created them different than any other creation, with jinn as well, with the innate quality in man that is in their fitrah, cannot find right or wrong by itself. It has a disability to know right and wrong. Why? Because man has a choice. Everything else knows what is right and what is wrong according to what Allah put in their fitrah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created animals in a certain way. It will eat in a certain way. It will reproduce in a certain way. It will protect itself in a certain way. It will attack in a certain time. It will be, you know, withdraw in a certain time. All this is within itself. And we call it fitrah. Okay, the instinct of that Allah created in them. Okay, But because mankind, Allah created mankind with a certain quality, which is being able to think and make decision. So therefore, there is a way to find right and wrong, a way to make a choice. And this has to be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah created man still with a fitrah in them or in him, where he can recognize some right and wrong. Allah created man that with his intellect knows that stealing is not right, knowing that killing is not right, knowing, you know, certain qualities are good and certain qualities are bad. But then that is a basic knowledge in our fitrah. But then the fitrah cannot by itself recognizes Allah. Cannot recognize that Allah, his name Allah, the creator's name is Allah. Cannot recognize what Allah wants from us, command us with. It has to be told what to do. But the animals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحِ بُحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِحًا. Nothing created except making praises to Allah, okay? And you do not understand, how they are praising Allah. لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِحًا. You do not understand how they're making tasbih to Allah. So mankind will not make tasbih to Allah unless he's told to make tasbih and how to make tasbih. Mankind recognizes that there is a creator, and that's all. The fitrah tell them that there is a creator, and that's all there is to it. But cannot find what, or cannot recognize and realize what Allah wants from him unless he is told. Okay? So this fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with, Allah also give us guidance with it that wants to get close to the Creator, that wants to have a purpose of life, that yearn to be, to reach excellence. Okay? Now, but it will not find that on its own. So you find mankind confused, trying to get close to some kind of an idea, some kind of a goal, and be excited about it. And as we were talking in the khutbah today, that, you know, the young ones, the young can, you know, be excited about certain things, but because they're not quite developed, their mind developed yet, then they will organize things and be really emotional about it and so forth. Okay? So you find children who, you know, play certain games that has certain rules and has certain goals and devoted for it and so forth and be very excited about it. And it ends there. Does not go further than that. Okay? But when man, you know, becomes mature in their thinking, when Allah developed their thinking, now, that is not enough to bring them happiness. That's not enough to bring them a peace of mind and heart. There is something else that is needed. But mankind try to make things that are organized and have goals and so forth and get excited about it and have root for it and have, you know, some kind of a lesion to it and so forth. But that would never get man to be satisfied, be comfortable in their life. Because, as we said, that this is lahu, that is, a goal has to be made by Allah, and the way to the goal has to be made by Allah. That is when the comfort of life and the hereafter comes. Now, the relationship with the Creator. We know that Allah must be the one to submit to and worship. Obviously, the one who created you is worthy to be thanked and worthy to worship. Allah is doing things for you, and you should do everything in the way of Allah. Not things. Allah is doing everything for us. So therefore, we should do everything in the way of Allah. Now, this relationship with Allah, it is magnified so much in our early age, when we are young. Because Allah created the fitrah in us, recognizes Allah and praises Allah and the existence of Allah. And this fitrah in us is very close to Allah in early age because it's not polluted. It is not polluted. It is clean. Allah's attribute reflects on it. Okay? There's no dust on it, no rust on it. That's why when we, when you ask anyone, non-Muslims even, anyone, what is the best time in your life, what are they going to say? Childhood. Okay? Now, we think it is childhood because of where you were raised, your parents, your neighbors, the pillow that you slept on, the bed, you know, your room, your neighborhood, right? We're related to this, okay? That is not true. Because, you know, many of us go back home and what happens? Nothing. Huh? It's not the same. You go back home and you go in the same neighborhood, the same everything. And they hate it too. Why? Because what you miss is that relationship with Allah at that time. That's what we miss. Okay? You miss the fitrah that was so clean that reflects the attributes of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking our hand to keep our fitrah clean. And those that the fitrah becomes dusted and rusted, Allah showed them the way of, you know, clean it up and unrust it and shine it up. So that feeling could be acquired anywhere at any time. That feeling could be acquired anywhere at any time. And this is what we hear about the stories of the Sahaba, the stories of the scholars, how they had a difficult life, but they say, we are in a pleasure that if the kings of this earth know what how much pleasure we are in, they will fight us on it with the sword. They want to take it from us. And they say these things when they are in jail. Okay, so here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in such a beautiful relationship with Allah, but the component in us that has a choice, that what causes problem with us, that take us away from the path, that put rust in our fitrah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us, He created us and He has the right to command us. So that is submission. This is surrender. So Allah give us this command for our own good. Allah does not benefit from any of His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the command for our own good. So you want to be away from that which rusts your fitrah and your heart? Pray. At least the five prayers. Because the prayer تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. The salah takes one from فحشاء and منكر. So the impurity is away. Okay? And as we said many times before, the all the acts of worship has to do with purification, the result of it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you are living next to a river and you jump in it and bathe five times a day, any dirt do you think will stay on your body? The companion says, no. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and that is what the prayer does, the five prayers, that no dirt stays in the person. Okay? But then the prayer, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam give us a quality or a fiqh of the prayer, how it is done. It has a mechanism that it has to be done with it. Okay? You know, the animals know all these mechanisms. They know how to pray to Allah. They know how to praise Allah. They even know how to take care of themselves in a certain ways. Okay? And what to do and when to do it and how to do it. But we need to be told. Okay? So Rasulullah ﷺ show us how to keep ourselves in physically and spiritually clean so we can maintain this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, the one who measured everything, the one who initiated the creation, and the one who beautified it. Imagine a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have created the human being in a sound creation that can function without skin. Allah is capable of doing that. Now, but imagine a person walking around without a skin. Okay? Imagine a face without the beautiful skin smooth on it. Just muscles and blood rushing around. Okay? What would this look like? Okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who al-musawwir, the one who fashioned his creation in a beautiful way. So the nose, you know, would look in a certain way and nicely and so forth, but it is functioning perfectly and in the right spot, facing down, not facing up, you know, and so forth. And it's in a perfect way. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything, all the faces in earth, almost all of them, different. Now, can you imagine that? Imagine how many billions of people, okay? And not one is alike like the other. And all of them have eyes, nose, eyebrows, lips, cheeks, forehead. You know? This is a miracle by itself. We take it as something, you know, we're walking around as something, you know, taken for granted. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in a very specific way and very measured way. Allah also created us with ability that is different than another. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Al-Fatir, some being, women, Allah created them with a certain quality, and men Allah give them certain quality. This is how Allah fatar an-nisa, our rijal, give them a stamp, if you will, with a certain qualities. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تتمنوا ما فضل الله به بعضكم على بعض للرجال نصيب مما اكتسبوا وللنساء نصيب مما اكتسب واسألوا الله من والله من فضله. That Allah said, do not wish to be something that you are not, with quality that is different than other. Allah created men in a certain way with quality, and created women in a certain way. So do not wish to be what you're not, and ask Allah from everything that He has. See the it seems like there is a contradiction, right? Ask Allah for everything, but do not wish to become something that you're not. Okay? And not just between men and women, also between men and each other, and women and among themselves. That Allah have chosen men, certain men with certain qualities different than others, and women as well. So therefore, you do not wish to have a different quality, but you can wish for anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, can give you, which is anything that you wish for. But if Allah give you an ability, okay, this ability is given to us with a specific measure for a specific reason. And you will know why Allah give you that ability. And when as one gets older and look back at their life, you can put the chain of how the events in your life brought you where you are today, and how the mental capacity and the physical capacity that you have was formed in a very specific way, so today you'll be able to do what you're doing today. Today you'll be functioning in a perfect way with everybody around you, so you can benefit everyone and everyone can benefit you. So the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that give us to function all together, we tend to say Allah, the one who gives the command, and He's limiting us. No. We need to think about it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala limiting everyone away from us. Right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says stealing is haram, if you think of it as an individual, you think that one, Allah is preventing one from stealing from everybody. But you can also think about it that Allah prevented everybody from stealing from this one. Right? So, any commands of Allah that is given, we need to think of it as a benefit in this way. It is not preventing us from doing something, it's preventing something from happening to us that we do not wish for it to happen to us. Therefore, we do not wish for others to happen to them as well. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that which we cannot measure with our own senses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about that creation that we cannot measure with our own senses, about al-ghayb. And our existence close to Allah depends on it. Depends on believing in this ghayb, believing in the unseen, believing in that which is not measured with our own senses. So the goal itself we cannot measure with our own senses, we are told. And the goal is to go to Jannah and to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And it's something that we cannot measure. But believing in that makes the difference in our lives, in a human being's life. And anything less than that as a goal destroys our life. Anything less than that as a goal destroys our life. Because then the work in this life will have a goal in this life. So therefore, mischief appears. Greed appears. But if the goal is beyond this, is beyond that, that seen, the life that is seen, therefore, prosperity will be there without greed. Okay? And this is what happened to the companions. When they left the Arabian Peninsula, they left, you know, spreading Islam and doing the work of Allah and doing work in this life and serving man. And they brought, Allah brought a lot of benefit from their work. Okay? Benefit that is a physical benefit that people can touch and see and smell and taste and so forth all over the world. Okay? But themselves, you know, they did not care about that. They were not out to get this benefit for themselves because they were working for that beyond, which is beyond this. Okay? So, this commands of Allah and submission to Allah and listening to Allah and believing in al-ghayb put us as Muslimin in this earth in a level that no one else is on. Once we are truly submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And above all, that to begin to seek the knowledge and get to the knowledge of that which is unseen, and get to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes, that bring us to the level of saying that we are comfortable no matter what condition we are in. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala measured everything for us and measured us for everything else, so therefore, wherever we are, whatever experience that we have in, we are comfortable with it, and we're doing the best we can in it, and we know that the results is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Total surrender and dependence on Allah, the one who created us, the one who measured us and measured everything for us, and the one who measured the time for us in this life. So eventually, you know, there are some who dislike to go and some like to go. Some does not know where to go and some knowing exactly where they're going. Some is in confusion and some in a deep knowledge of the unseen. And this is a knowledge that has no end, and a knowledge that is, one try to acquire it, but also it is from Allah. It is Allah's bounty on us, first, to help us to start gaining the knowledge, and second, help us to acquire the knowledge. It is from Allah and it is gift from Allah. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. إن شاء الله. If you would like to make any comments, إن شاء الله, as we usually do. I know brother وإياكم, brother Lu'ay is not here. He usually leads. he leads the talk, but you know, he can give you the microphone, إن شاء الله.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Yes, it's beautiful. You mentioned about fitrah of the child.
Yes.
You know, they realize, even children, when they fight with each other, they after 15, 20 minutes, they are friends again, and you see, they forget everything. As adults, we keep so much grudge and everything.
Yeah.
So that's a beautiful attribute, sir.
Yeah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you said the fitrah or conscience is given to everybody. Like, basically, man knows when he's doing bad or doing good. That is part of our fitrah. But you need further guidance to. But as a basis, everybody knows most of the time whether it's good or bad he's doing.
Yes, but that's not enough. Yeah. That's not enough. Money matters, for example. You know that money that belongs to others, you cannot just take it from them. Okay, it belongs to them. And stealing from them is not good. That is, a fitrah can tell you that. Even a child, as you say, before they grab a toy that doesn't belong to them, they look around, you know, and then grab it. Okay, that is in the fitrah. But however, you want to benefit mankind and deal with the money matters, and how to deal with the money matters, and know that riba is haram. Now, that is something that you have to be told. Okay? You have to be told that there is certain contract that are haram, and certain components of the contracts are haram and should not be there. Okay? Mankind can, maybe eventually, they will realize that, and they are realizing it now. Right, with their market and so forth, right? But by the time they realize that, a lot of damage will happen. A lot of damage will happen, okay? So you find any rule or laws, once they are adjusted, they are adjusted toward the Islamic way, okay? But now, even if someone adjusts an Islamic way or adopt the Islamic way and say, this is really perfect in this life, that does not, of course, make one a Muslim. Because we implement it because we submit to Allah, not because it is something that makes sense and it is good for mankind, and we separate between the Creator and His command. No, we submit to the Creator and His command. He is Al-Khaliq and He has the right to tell us what to do. So we have to be ready to even follow without even knowing why. And this is the beauty of it, that Allah give us things the other way around, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, do this, and you'll find eventually the wisdom from it and the benefit. But mankind go the other way around, right? They see the benefit and see, okay, how are we going to do that? And yeah. So why take the long road when you have the shortcut that is beneficial? Yeah.
Today, it's a good talk because I was reading Surah Nan, I think the ants, about the ants and the...
Yes.
Okay. And I think near the ayah, like 50s, near the ayah, and Allah talks about how He's the only creator. And in the tafsir, they were talking about how the world is created in a perfect manner, that there is no way that, you know, two people or two person created, or, you know, there's two Allah or three Allah, because it's only one. That the earth only spins around so perfectly, moving to the right or left, bumping into other planets, and there is a special wall around the world, atmosphere, that you know, it protects us from meteors, like about, you know, thousands of meteors come to the earth, but the wall protects it. It doesn't hit us. And talks about like many other things, like 12 hours a day we face the sun, and then 12 hours a day we don't. If what if 24 hours we did and then 24 hours we didn't, the earth would have been unbalanced. And you know, most of the stuff that you said today, so it makes the people who doesn't believe Allah, it shows how, you know, you have to believe, seeing all these, you know, things around you.
And when that rhythm changes,
it would,
everybody will say, "Uh-oh."
Like, you know,
meaning they start believing, but it will be too late.
Yeah.
When the sun starts rising from the west.
West, yeah.
Yeah, now you know that
there's something wrong.
Seriously, is wrong now. But it's too late. Yeah,
yeah, because the prevailing winds around the world affects how the ocean currents move around and how the system works. So if we stop, if we turn the opposite way, then the ocean currents are going to change, and that's going to be a whole problem.
When Dajjal is here, he will be here in 40 days. One day will from the days will be like a year, and one like a month, and so forth. And then the rest is like our days. Okay? Yeah. 40 days. And then the rest. So now you have a day.
Yeah.
You know, like a year equal to a year. Now.
And
what? And it has to do with time as well. Not meaning the sun and the moon, because the companion asked, "Ya Rasulullah, if the day will be like a year, is it enough to pray the five prayers?" So Muhammad ﷺ said, "No, measure naam, measure for it. It's measured, meaning five prayers will not be enough." Did he finish? Go ahead.
And you know, like when we think about it, if something was not controlled by Allah, like let's say the earth, people say there is no Allah, but there is Allah, because the earth spins around the sun exactly 365 days, no one day shorter, no one day longer. So how does the earth know how to spin around? You know, like these kind of easy questions we can think, and we should appreciate Allah every day for just... little stuff that we see, that it's little but it's big.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Regarding the fitra, look to the cat. If you give the cat piece of meat, it will stand there and eat it right in front of you. If it steal that piece of meat, it will snatch it and run away and eat it behind the wall. Actually, there is a study I heard about, takes a place long time ago. In the laboratory, they made a study on the ants. And they found out the ants, when they collect the beans, they split the beans before they store it. And by studying that, they found out that if the beans stayed whole together, it's not going to be beneficial for the ants to eat, because it will start to grow again from the humidity. But when the ants split the beans, actually they disable the growing process in that beans. And they said, okay, let's take some new ants. They never, because they may taught each other that process, but let's take a new ants. They're just being born, and then separate them from the group and see what will happen. Actually, those ants, once they start to grow and collect their own food, their own beans, they start to split the bean.
And then what they did, they give it a seed that if you split it, it will still grow. Okay, so the ant took it and split it to three pieces.
Yes,
so it will not grow.
Anyone else?
Yeah, one last comment about the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the height of Adam. Mm-hmm. So I just calculated it again now. So it's exactly 90 feet. 90 feet.
You calculated?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So 40 zara is 75 centimeters. 75 centimeters. Yeah, which means 30 meters.
Is the hadith 40 zara or 60 zara?
It's met. Situn?
Situn.
Ah, okay. 60. 60.
And 60, I thought yeah.
Yeah.
45 meters divided by 3.3.
But the point is, he was saying at least 90.
Subhanallah. Yeah.
Because of course his calculation is not accurate.
Yeah.
But the concept scientifically, he reached that conclusion that
cannot be in the same size right. as a human today.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to be right. much higher, much bigger.
Yeah.
And you look at wisdom and that the population where Adam has been created alone,
mm-hmm.
and Hawa has been created with him.
Mm-hmm.
They're both were only the two people on the earth.
Yes.
For them to blow the earth, it would take them years and years.
Mm-hmm.
SubhanAllah, it's just it's a theory.
Mm-hmm.
That is, for Adam to reach most of the earth in a fashionable time that is enough for him, like, I think in the Hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says his footsteps were like 3 days walking of our time, you know. So, yeah. Wallahu a'lam.
Who?
Adam? 940 years.
Who? Yes.
The reason that I mentioned the number 940, that because we all know Sayyidina Adam asked Allah how long he will live. Allah told him 1,000 years. And when he saw his offsprings, and he heard the Sayyidina Dawood saying the Quran, the Zabur, and he asked Allah, who's this? Allah answered him, that's one of your sons. Says, can you make his life longer? 60 years out of my years I will live. And Allah gave him his wish. And when the time came for Sayyidina Adam to just go, and Sayyidina Adam says, I still have 60 years.
Yeah,
and the angel of death told him, you have give your son Dawood the 60 years out of your life. And the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, fajahada Adam fajahattum. Sayyidina Adam, when he realized that he shortened his life by 60 years, he just felt sorry for
That's why we have the same feelings.
فجحد آدم فجحدتم. الله أعلم.
Well, there is Allahu A'lam. There is talk about, you know, scholars talk about, you know, paradise and Jannah. Is it the Jannah of the hereafter or a Jannah on this earth was already? And many, you know, was the opinion that it was already in earth here.
May I say one thing? In regard of speaking about is Adam really was in Jannah that the human beings will end up in, or which Jannah Adam was in, Sheikh Sha'rawi, when he interpreted this, says the first description for Adam is to be created on earth. And Adam never went anywhere but on earth. And this Jannah, the Jannah that has been mentioned in the Quran, it was a Jannah on earth. Because the other description of the Jannah is فِيهَا مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمَعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشْرٍ. But if this is the description of the Jannah, then sure Adam never seen
no
it.
No eyes have seen, no ear heard of it. Also, they say, you know, Jannah, you cannot commit a sin in it. And Adam alayhi salam disobeyed. Jannah, you're not commanded in it to do or not to do. Adam alayhi salam was told to do some and not to do others. So they have their evidence. And the others as well, they have their evidence and so forth. Okay? But there is a possibility of that. Allahu a'lam. There are some who pinpointed exactly where it was and so forth. Yes. The angels, yeah. Well, there are evidence on the other side as well. I say the angels could be here as well. Yeah, on earth. Allahu a'lam.
I forgot which surah was it, but talks about how the earth's surface is going to change when the time comes.
Allah, na'am. Yubaddal al-ard ghayra al-ard. That Allah will change the earth to become something else. So and the word ard, yeah. Ard in the Quran is used in many meanings.
Okay.
Ard meaning the earth. Also Allah called Jannah ard. Right. Okay, in paradise. Okay. And then Allah called the place of mahshar is ard. Okay, so the place that we're going to be collected on will be special place, will be different. The earth will لَا تَرَى فِيهَا عِوَجًا وَلَا أَمْتَى. You will not find in it crookedness either.
Yeah.
Any crookedness and no, it's all flat, straight. Okay.
Was this in Taha or?
Yes.
Taha? Okay.
Yeah. Yes. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك جزاكم الله خيرا.